Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 94 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, this is the first time we've ever recorded the podcast in the morning.
I don't know if morning Seth can do podcasts.
I'm only
sparkling and conversational at night. I don't know. We'll try. Yeah. Did you have a good 4th of July? We had a not too bad. We didn't get hit with rain, which we were really afraid of. There was definitely some sprinkles, some drizzles, but the fireworks in downtown Orlando still went on here. And we actually went, a friend of ours had a 50th birthday party. So we went to a rooftop bar in downtown Orlando, and we could basically see 360-degree fireworks. So
it was
nice doing that and not being squeezed into a theme park crowd. No, a lot of people were very happy to go back to Disney. We went a couple nights before and went to Epcot to see the Epcot Forever fireworks return, Epcot Forever, which will only last for a couple more months. But yeah, it was nice to have the 4th of July. My cats did not freak out too badly. And it is great to see fireworks back here in Orlando. What about you? Did you have a good holiday?
I did. It rained a lot here. Mm-hmm. So I thought for a second that maybe we kind of got out of the fireworks, but sure enough, they happened. And I don't know, I don't really live that close to downtown, but maybe some of my lovely neighbors were shooting them off. But we had fireworks go on until like 1 in the morning.
Yikes.
And while Brody wasn't scared of them, he had just this like concerned look on his face
a little anxiety
and didn't really want to go to sleep. So we had to stay up with him to make sure he was good. So if I am not as responsive as I am normally on the podcast,
wake up.
Blame it on that. I usually like we have the whole day to warm up, and then Sunday night we're like,
yep.
In it.
Yep. No, this is good that people get to see another side of us.
Oh, I don't know if they want to see the side. We got a super chat from Anonymous Woo! Disney. Thank you so much. I don't know why, but why is Mickey's Great Clubhouse Hunt on Disney Plus or iTunes?
It's odd sometimes the way they pick and choose some of the older things that they do and do not have on Disney Plus. I'd say the number one reason would probably be rights. Some of the older material that was not originally created for Disney Plus, there might have been contractual rights, especially regarding music, maybe. A lot of time that can keep older shows off of the streaming networks. Or maybe they just don't want it to compete with some of their newer Mickey stuff. I personally am not seriously very familiar with the Great Clubhouse Hunt. I feel like we've had so many different Mickey shows Clubhouse over the last 10, 15 years. I really can't keep them all straight.
Yeah. I'm waiting for them to add Steve Guttenberg Tower of Terror to Disney
Well,
Plus.
now that Black Widow is making her own Tower of Terror movie, I think the Steve Guttenberg one might be buried in the Disney vault underneath Walt's frozen corpse. I don't think we're going to see that one coming out.
It's so good, and like good in a bad way.
You know what? If they brought back the Ewoks Caravan of Courage, anything could show up on Disney.
My
Plus,
point.
You know?
That's my point. All right.
Oh, wow. Michael says that his mom got hurt on the Snow White ride. This is a story that I would love to hear sometime, because that unless the animatronics in there have come to life like Five Nights at Freddy's style, I'm trying to picture how you would get injured on the Snow White ride. It's terrible. Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah.
So sending sorry. her healing thoughts and yes. No poison apples.
All right, let's get into this week's news.
Do it.
All All right, this first one is a little unusual to what we normally cover, but it was so gross and weird, I had to put it in here.
You had to go first with this. You had to put this right at the top.
Yeah, starting
this
off,
is a good wake up. All right.
So Madame Tussauds in Blackpool has put out a new figure of a YouTuber called Dan TDM. He's a gaming YouTuber. And this new figure comes with a first for Madame Tussauds, a smell, a specially designed scent from Aroma Prime to go with this figure and its environment. And it's called
the name of the fragrance, drum roll, please.
You say it because I want to hear you say it.
Eau de Guimard. You have to pronounce it like you're French. Eau de Guimard. Yes, if you want to know what a professional video gamer smells like,
it's kind of gross.
Having gone to many video gaming conventions and competitions over the years, I can tell you firsthand, I know what professional gamers sound like, smell like, I'm sorry. And I do not feel like it is a combination of, what is it, grass, sugar, and deodorant, I believe is some of the notes that they say. First of all, deodorant ain't nowhere in there.
That was a generous inclusion, yes, if we're being honest.
And I mean, while I'm sure these gamers have really impressive rigs to play Minecraft on them, I am not aware of a graphics card yet that creates the smell of the game. So saying that he plays a lot of Minecraft, you smell dirt. Well, if your PC smells like dirt, you really, at very minimum, run a virus cleaning, because that's not what your computer should smell like at any time.
It's a new RTX scratch and sniff.
So I have not obviously been to Madame Tussauds in Blackpool, England, but I'm really curious how this fits into their collection. Because the Madame Tussauds we have here in Orlando, you have historical figures, you have Ponce de Leon, you have Walt Disney, you have presidents and, people who are important to history, or at least big famous sports figures like Shaq. Is anyone but this person's mother going to know who this person is in 6 months? I mean, I kind of follow video gaming. I play Fortnite. I've been to video game competitions. I have no idea who this person is. Maybe they're really big in England. Wow. All right. Maybe we need to not record these in the morning, because I'm feeling a little saucier in the morning. And, this sounds like a great thing. And if you are in Blackpool, be sure to check out Madame Tussauds. Oh, wait, they're not a sponsor. I don't have to.
I might have to
edit this episode.
We're doing it live. I wonder if we'll get any scented additions over in Orlando.
Well, okay, that can be a topic of conversation, because in Orlando, we've got a whole DC area. Mm-hmm. So let's imagine what all the DC characters would smell like. I think we should get Zack Snyder in there and give us the Zack Snyder cut of all of the scents.
He would have specific notes for what they all smell like.
We know Aquaman smells like sardines and tuna, so that's that one's easy.
And pool water, yeah.
Pool water, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm moving us on.
Please do.
If you are a fan of Broadway theater, you may have mixed feelings about this. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is coming back to Broadway in November as one single show instead of its traditional two-night or matinee evening format.
So this is terrible news for anyone who wanted to be able to see the full version without flying to England for it. This is wonderful news for anyone who did see the two-parter and wants permanent bragging rights over all the rest of it. So I personally have really mixed feelings. I did not see this show myself, but I bought tickets for my my stepdad and my mom's, because he's a huge Harry Potter fan and she loves him very much. So she goes to Harry Potter things for him. Aww. And so we bought them the two-parter same day, matinee and evening. And they were very grateful and appreciative, and they really enjoyed all the stagecraft. But I think even for big Harry Potter fans, that was a long day. That was a really, really long experience. And the promise is that they are going to maintain all of the plot points. This whole story will still be there. And all of the special effects and magic tricks will still be there. Just all of the filler will be condensed down. And I don't know, haven't seen it personally, but from talking to them, that might not necessarily be a bad thing. Because I haven't heard anyone raving about the acting or the dialogue. I hear people rave about all of the effects and the spectacle. And so if you can get all of that in a little less time, it might not be a bad thing. Also less money. It was an expensive show because it's basically each part was the price of a full Broadway show. And you've got to pay twice in order to get the whole story. Ooh. So, you know, this at least, you know, maybe it's not the huge epic, but it's a lot more accessible. I think a lot more people will be able to afford to see it now.
Yeah, I was looking into how long both parts are put together because I read the book.
The acting script or the rehearsal script version. Yeah, right?
when it came out, and I didn't like it. It felt very out of character for literally everyone from the books. But I figured, you know, if I ever get to see it, maybe it translates better on stage. And if I can actually see it being performed, it's not a novel. So like I can, experience it differently. It was like, I think averaged out to be about 5.5 hours total. Yeah,
that's my understanding. And they haven't said, you know, necessarily that it's being cut in half. So the 5.5 hours might turn out to be like almost 4 hours. Like Les Miserables was about 3.5 hours. I think that's about the limit at what Broadway audiences. Like I saw Nicholas Nickleby, and that was a two-parter that was almost 6 hours long. And that's, you know, even with the best actors, that's a long time to sit in a theater.
I like Broadway theater a lot, but that is
long. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, maybe, you know, at least more people will have the opportunity to see it and make their own opinions on whether or not Cursed Child was good. So,
yes. If you want to see the original two-part show, you will have to go to Melbourne, Australia for its new production, Hamburg, Germany, or the original production in London's West End to see the two-parter. All of the North American performances will be the refreshed one part. Over at Disneyland Paris, they have opened a brand new stage show called Disney Junior Dream Factory. And I think this has some of the best production design and costumes that I've seen in a minute.
Based just on the photos and the short video clip we have, this is so much better than the Disney Junior shows that we've had in the States.
Right.
Right now, there is a Disney Junior kind of character party meet and greet thing happening at Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's kind of a shell of what the show used to be. Back in the day, there were really cool puppets, and then they transitioned to costume characters. And it basically, the show kind of devolved into like a DJ and a big video screen and the trotting out a character every few minutes to wave and say hi. And it doesn't do a lot for me. It's better than what they have in California Adventure right now, because I think the Disney Junior stage in California Adventure is completely shuttered. This, taking the same characters, but giving it, like you said, tons of production value. 20-minute interactive stage, lots of people on that stage, lots of costumes, lots of characters, lots of lighting, original music, everyone from Mickey and Minnie, plus Timon from The Lion King, Vampirina, Fancy Nancy, So yeah, really good blend. I think they've done a good job of making it both appealing to little kids and not boring for the parents. Yeah. which is hard with a kids show like this.
Yeah, it is. And one thing I think is super cool, they didn't have this in their news release when they put this out, but when Studio D, which is where the show is performed, takes place, it's kind of like a flex theater space. With lots of moving and interchangeable parts. At least that's how it was pitched originally. So this show could run, and then they might introduce another show where they could break down all of this stuff and create their other staging. So I think
it looks like a much more advanced venue than where we have our Disney. Our Disney junior shows are basically in a black box.
Yeah.
I also think it's neat that there is they're going to be performances done, and I'm not going to butcher the pronunciation, but it is a special French form of sign language that's like an artistically expressive form of sign language, chansonnier. Chansonnier. All right, I obviously am not a French speaker, sorry. But I think it would be really cool to see a performance like that. The one thing that confuses me a little is when I visited Disneyland Paris, pretty much everything I saw there was either in French or a mix of French and English. And they were very careful to use the French language everywhere. The video clip we have of this new song is completely in English, not even a few French words thrown in. So, I'm curious if that's like just, you know, for international advertisement, or if they're really using that much English in the show. That would be a shift for them because, you know, back in the day, Euro Disney, oh, sorry, we don't call it that anymore. Disneyland Paris was very careful to not seem too American. So, yep.
We'll have to have someone go check that out.
Yeah. I volunteer as soon as they let us into the country.
Right. Over at Kennedy Space Center, they are celebrating the 10th anniversary of the final space shuttle mission on July 8th with a special event.
I cannot believe it's been 10 years.
Shrinking.
I mean, it feels like just yesterday that I was there for the opening of the Atlantis exhibit. The shuttle Atlantis, which was one of the last shuttles, is on display at KSC, and it's absolutely stunning display, the way it's kind of floating in midair at an angle. And I remember 8 years ago now going and seeing the grand opening of that. Feels like yesterday. My biggest regret living here in Florida for 25 years almost is that I've seen plenty of rocket launches from my backyard, but I never saw a shuttle launch up close.
Oh, yeah.
My wife got to, and it was just, she said, a really, really impressive experience. So, oh, well.
Maybe one day.
Maybe it'll come back. It'll be a retro thing. They'll just, like, you know, dig them out of mothballs and start sending them up.
A SpaceX space shuttle.
Right.
Yeah. This event is included with admission to Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, and it kicks off at 2 p.m. on July 8th with practically the entire crew of the final voyage speaking on a panel.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal for them to get all of them back together again.
Yeah.
Getting the band back together.
It's like the Country Bears movie. It's a right, deep but, cut well, for you.
Let's not curse it like that. As long as Christopher Walken doesn't show up.
Oh, geez. The panel will share their firsthand memories of the mission and their time on Space Shuttle Atlantis from a stage set up below the orbiter. And they will also take questions from social media. So if you're not able to be there, you can tweet #Atlantis10 with your question and they might answer it.
They will not give you a hug or do any autographs, I guess, because of COVID. I don't know. I think they should all be wearing their sealed spacesuits, and then you can get as close as you want. They'll be fine.
Oh, my goodness. They will be taking socially distanced selfies, so if that interests you.
You know, I got to say, if I was a celebrity, I would keep milking the social distance thing as long as possible just to avoid you know, shaking hands with the unwashed masses, you know, getting near all those ordinary people's cooties. You know, let's just, you know, keep this up for as long as you can.
All right. So if Seth ever gets famous.
Yeah. Well, that ain't happening.
In addition, some space flown artifacts from the Atlantis will also be going on display on July 8th. And guess we'll be able to check them out then. But they are still requiring reservations to visit. So if yep. you're planning on heading over there, be sure you do that. Knott's Berry Farm is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, and they had a special little thing the other day where they buried a time capsule.
Yeah. Our friend of the podcast, Eric O, was there, reported for us. 50 years from now, in 2071. Oh, I hope I'm around for that, but I'm not counting on that.
I'm not even going to ask.
They will unearth this time capsule, and it contains different items picked by each department of the park, plus a banner signed by all of the current park employees.
Wow.
And 50 years from now, they'll be opening that up. You know, I guess 50 years, it sounds like a long time, but a park like Knott's that is 100 years old, that's just a blink. That's nothing.
Yeah. Well, it won't be nothing for us.
Hey, I'll go in 2071 if you'll be there. We'll meet up there.
I'll bring my walker. The capsule was placed at the entrance of Knott's Berry Tales Return to the Fair, the new attraction that opened up. And check it out if you go.
Now, I will say, you're being pretty brave placing it at the entrance of that ride. Because that ride has been like six different rides in just the last 10 years. Let's hope that Berry Tales sticks around, or at least that they remember it's there the next time they tear that up and put a new ride in there.
Wouldn't that be unfortunate? They pull up the concrete and they're, oh no.
Hey, I still want to know what happened to the Nickelodeon time capsule that was buried at Universal. That bounced went to the Nick Hotel. I think it ended up at Nick headquarters, maybe in California. I'm sure it's in someone's desk drawer now somewhere.
There's an office in New York.
No, maybe that's where it is.
But man, what happened to that? Universal, this would be a great time to pop in the chat and tell us where the Nick capsule is. Over at SeaWorld Orlando, the Sesame Street Party Parade is coming back starting July 10th.
Nature is healing. The parades are returning. Universal was the first to bring back parades in Orlando with the Superstar Parade. And SeaWorld's like, yep, us too. the SeaWorld parade, you know, it's a very short parade route. It just goes through this little section of the Sesame Street area of SeaWorld, but it's just packed with characters. The floats are really well done. It's a really, really well done parade. And you know, they were doing little kind of showstop appearances. Instead of doing the full parade, they would just sort of bring a float out and have characters dance around. But I think that was actually maybe causing some more congestion because everyone would just cram into this little cul-de-sac, and it didn't seem any safer. So now, at least, you know, you'll have a little bit of room along the curb to spread out and say hi to all your furry monster friends.
Yeah. The parade will run at select times throughout the day on weekends, so Fridays through Sundays, and you'll get to see all of your friends again. Yay. Now, Disney, it's your turn.
I'm so torn because on the one hand, I miss, you know, the fire-breathing Maleficent dragon from Festival of Fantasy, but I really liked the character Cavalcades. Because you don't feel like you've got to sit there and camp out on the curb.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little surprise and delight. I wish there was some way they could do a mix of the two.
Add some new floats to Festival of Fantasy.
Yeah. Well, you know, at Universal, they brought back the Superstar Parade, but they're still also bringing out those parade floats and characters during the day over on Hollywood Boulevard to just do appearances. And I think that may be the best of both worlds, to both do a big parade, but also have set times where they just, you know, come out and do distance meet and greets or whatever.
Yeah, you could park them in that kind of cul-de-sac area right in front of the castle. Yeah. That would be fun.
If nothing else, a scheduled parade is great for drawing people away from the other attractions. So, like, you know, that 3 o'clock parade, you know, go to Fantasyland or go to Tomorrowland because everyone's going to be on Main Street or in Frontierland.
Yep. Now we've got a ton of Disney restaurant reopening news from Walt Disney World to Disneyland.
Twitter had some hot takes on this, did they not?
Oh, they did.
A lot of controversy on these kind of announcements. So
we'll start with Walt Disney World. Yep. So Citrico's and Trails End are reopening this month. Citrico's reopens on July 15th with a new kind of theme. Mm-hmm. They're doing a similar thing that they did to, I forget its original name, but it's the Enchanted Rose now.
Mitzner's.
Yes.
The bar. Yes. So a little bit of character coming into Citrico's, which was previously one of the few non-IP, upscale, adult-oriented, classy, Victorian things in keeping with the original theme of the Grand Floridian. But we can't have that. So now we've got Mary Poppins Returns. And I got to say that, you know, they've just showed us a couple little shots of the interior. It doesn't look super Mary Poppins-y. It's not like there's animatronic penguins dancing through the restaurant, as far as we can tell. We've got some blue sky, white cloud kind of murals. We've got some soft lighting. We've got some floral upholstery.
Looks like her bag.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But the touches, at least as far as we can see, seem kind of subtle. You know, it's actually specifically inspired by the Trip a Little Light Fantastic scene from the garden in Mary Poppins Returns. So I don't know if Lin-Manuel Miranda will personally come out and, I don't know, dance on a giant book every 20 minutes. That would be nice. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Yeah. They are also shaking up the menu.
Mm-hmm.
With some items like sweet corn bisque, strawberry salad, butter poached Florida cobia. Am I saying that right?
Yes, excellent.
Oh, and that's great. And then we have a special wine pairing program and cocktail pairing program, and an exclusive new sommelier room.
It all looks very light and delicate and seasonal Floridian. Not at all what I associate with Victorian England or Mary Poppins or at all. I guess maybe they'll have scones.
Yeah, maybe.
Scones and tea, I hope.
They will have desserts, though. Yes. Like a warm apple rose, which sounds amazing.
It does look pretty.
And a chocolate torte financier. I don't know. Don't ask me. It looks delicious.
I thought
that's
someone who gives you money. A financier.
This chocolate torte will give you money.
Yes. No, most likely it will take money away from you.
Yep.
You can now go online and try to reserve a table. I'm sure that those will be hard to come by. So keep hammering that dining reservation site. The pricing here is probably not quite on the same level as Victoria and Albert's. Please let that come back. It's one of those meals where, you know, if you have to count your pennies, this is probably not the place for you. Cause this is known as one of the more expensive meals at Disney.
If you are in the mood for something a little more kitsch, a little more fun, Trails End Restaurant at Disney's Fort Wilderness reopens on July 17th.
But not quite the restaurant that people knew before. Previously, this was famous for being a buffet. And the the fan favorite item here was the fried chicken. And both of those elements are now gone. Like everything else at Disney, anything that was a buffet is now family style, which still means it's all you can eat. But you're basically going to get a big platter with a little of everything to start. And then once you finish that, you can ask your waiter or waitress to bring some more of whatever you like. But if you're the kind of person who likes going along a buffet and picking out exactly what you like, that's not around anymore right now.
This was such a good buffet too.
Yeah. Yeah. This definitely had its fans. Like I said, the fried chicken is gone, but you now have a rotisserie chicken.
That's along... not the same.
No, it's not. But, you know, pecan smoked brisket, andouille sausage, potatoes, beans, corn on the cob, you know, all your standard old fashioned sides. If you don't want to go for dinner, they also do a family style breakfast with French toast and bacon and Mickey waffles.
I'm looking at that sundae inside of a plastic 10 gallon hat.
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty good.
Yep.
Over at Magic Kingdom, Casey's Corner, I believe, has reopened already. Yes. So you can once again get your Magic Kingdom hot dogs. And they've also got a new frozen mint julep lemonade.
All right. We have to discuss this because the picture is confusing me. It's called a mint julep, yet it has a cherry in it. Now, as far as I know, the only mint julep in history that has come with a cherry was the disgusting green mouthwash mint juleps they used to serve in Disneyland. A real mint julep, as any Southerner will tell you, has mint. But no self-respecting Kentucky Derby watcher would drink a real mint julep with a cherry in it. So I don't know what's up with that.
And it's also like feelings about
mint juleps, please write in the comments.
Yeah. And then the Plaza Ice Cream Parlor has reopened with plant-based non-dairy ice cream options.
Finally. Finally. Every time I want an ice cream when I'm in the parks, and then I remember, oh shoot, I didn't bring any lactate with me, and this will go badly. So to have a non-dairy ice cream will be fantastic.
I'm so excited. I love non-dairy ice cream. I'm not lactose intolerant, but I just choose to not indulge in dairy. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'm super excited. Animal Kingdom's Eight Spoons Cafe, it has brought back the baked macaroni and cheese with optional pulled pork and the pulled pork jelly donut sandwich, which sounds disgusting, but I'm sure someone loves it out there.
Yeah, they are bringing back the pulled pork, but I don't know if they're bringing back the shrimp. They used to do a mac and cheese with shrimp that was really good. Though maybe, you know, unless you're Beverly Goldberg, the idea of eating cheesy pasta and seafood maybe doesn't appeal to most people. So,
and then, as we've talked about in previous episodes of the podcast, Salt and Straw is coming to Disney Springs next year.
Okay.
And two Disney resorts, Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort and Disney's Grand Floridian, are offering a new Disney Family Night Dinner offering, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I looked into this and I was actually surprised at what a decent value it appears to be. You know, you basically getting enough food to feed at least four people. And like the chicken, it looks like you're basically getting a chicken and a half. It's a pretty good size serving.
Yeah.
Plus all the sides. These fun make your own desserts, little decorate your own cookies. But the neat thing is that it comes with an exclusive card game. I think some people who are, you know, hardcore Disney game collectors might want to get this just because I don't think there's anywhere else where you can get this family card game that you can play after your meal. I think this would be an awesome thing if you are staying at one of those resorts and it's a rainy night, especially, you know, you can't go out and watch the fireworks or whatever, grab one of these and, you know, sit in your hotel room and kind of bond. I think it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a very unexpected and simple offering, but I feel like this really lands, mm-hmm. especially in the summer season when everyone is out of school and they're mm-hmm. coming to Disney. Okay, over at Disneyland. Seth is so excited because he's going to Disneyland. Trader Sam's reopened on the 2nd, and Harbor Galleon Hungry Bear in Disneyland Park reopened on the 1st. Refreshment Corner on Main Street USA reopens on the 8th of July. And Caxaca's Kettle, where you can get the spicy popcorn and Galaxy's Edge, reopens on the 15th. So many things are reopening.
So many of my favorite things. You know, right off the top, Harbor Galley and Hungry Bear are two of my favorite quick service. Because Hungry Bear, obviously, Fantasmic's not back, so they're not going to do their Fantasmic meal. But they've got better than average sandwiches and some really good desserts. And Harbor Galley makes some great soups. But for me, this is all about Trader Sam's.
Yes.
I got to look on social media and see some reports from the reopening and see just how packed it is. I can imagine I'm going to have to wait to get my drink in there because I have a feeling that there's just going to be a lot of people for quite some time wanting to get back inside Trader Sam's. And I can't blame them because it's just such a great bar.
I did see on Twitter that someone was taking pictures of the inside and it has changed a little bit. They have taken some stuff out. The shrunken head tree, the family tree, is gone. The tree is still there, but the heads are not.
And then
there's a painting of something. I can't remember what, but that's gone as
well. Interesting.
Yeah, so it seems like they are also making some changes to Trader Sam's alongside the changes to the attraction.
All right. Well, I can't wait to go and extensively photograph the inside and annoy all my other patrons who are just trying to drink.
Sorry,
do you mind? No.
Yeah, I will have to see whenever Walt Disney World opens if they've cleaned that one out as well. If you are heading to Disneyland like Seth in the near future, if you head to our website, we have a full list of everything that is currently open or opening at Disneyland and Disney California Adventure to make your life a little bit easier.
Okay. And before we move on, you mentioned the popcorn stand in Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
Is it my imagination or is that the treat that Omega eats at the end of every mission on The Bad Batch? Have you been watching The Bad Batch?
I regrettably have not.
So Bad Batch is another spinoff from the Clone Wars cartoon show that's currently running on Disney Plus. And they make this like really kind of awkward thing where every time they come back for a mission, Omega insists on getting the snack and it looks exactly like the popcorn. And I'm like, is this seriously like product placement for a Galaxy's Edge restaurant that's not even open right now in every freaking episode? Because it's so awkwardly shoehorned in. Not as awkwardly as the barrels of popcorn that they have in the queue for the Millennium Falcon ride.
Oh yeah.
If you get in line for the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, I know they have it in Hollywood Studios. I think it might be in the same place in California, but there's just this like big crate full of popcorn sitting in the middle of the queue. It's just like, maybe that'll make people hungry and they'll want to go and buy overpriced popcorn. But yeah. So there you go. If you want your product placement popcorn, that's coming back soon.
All right.
Sorry, I just had to tangent on that one.
No, it's okay. I've watched the first two episodes. I reviewed them, and then
that was enough for you.
Yeah, life just got in the way.
Understand.
This was surprising. This next thing, Mickey's PhilharMagic is getting an update.
I did not have that on my bingo card.
No, I didn't either.
Not, I mean, because Disney is famous for doing these attractions that are screen-based and saying when they come out, well, it's screen-based, so over the years, we could update this. I remember Jim Hill talking about, here's what they're going to update in PhilharMagic like 10 years ago. never happened. But we're finally getting a new scene based on Coco. And this is kind of a big deal because it's the first time that Disney animators and Pixar animators have collaborated to put a Disney character, Donald Duck, and a Pixar character on screen together at the same time. So that's kind of a big deal.
It's like Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. The other thing is, though, and I think Scott Gustin tweeted this out, I don't believe it is replacing anything. They said that this is being added to the show, but I don't necessarily know that any of the existing segments are being deleted. Maybe they'll be trimming little bits and pieces in order to make time, or maybe the attraction will just be a couple minutes longer now.
I'm fine with that. I love Un Poco Loco, which is the song that they are adding in.
The artwork, you know, I can imagine, I have Coco in 3D, the original film at home, and the scenes with the, you know, the kind of spirit animals, these vibrant colors and the abstract animal designs, they were incredible in the film in 3D, and I'm sure, you know, on the giant wide screen of PhilharMagic with 4D effects, it's going to make a big impact.
I wonder if there'll be any cool smells.
As long as it isn't eau de gamer.
Oh, eau de gamer.
Eau de Donald Duck.
This new scene will be added to Disney California Adventure and Disneyland Paris on July 17th.
This is killing me because I fly home from Disneyland on July 17th. My last ticket day is July 16th. So I'm hoping that there might be a day early. Often there's like, you know, technical rehearsal or, you know, a soft opening the day before. If not, I have to consider whether it's worth purchasing a one-day Disneyland ticket just to go in and see this show.
Can you expense it for work?
Yes. I mean, I could, but I have to decide where it's, you know, if I can justify that in my book's budget. It's a one-day ticket's expensive just to go in for one attraction. But I don't know. We'll see. I might have to do that.
The scene will also be coming to Walt Disney World, but not until later this year as part of the World's Most Magical Celebration in October. This one is big for you Run Disney fans. Mm-hmm. In-person races are coming back for the 2021-2022 season.
If you were a Disney race participant, you've been doing virtual races by yourself at home for the last year, but, if you have been missing waking up at 3 a.m. and squeezing into a corral with 1,000 other really sweaty people, your chance is returning, starting with the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend.
Yep, that weekend rolls around November 4th through the 7th, and it is Disney Villains themed. Yep.
And you've only got till August 17th to get your proof of time in. So, training starts on July 4th already. So get your registration done.
Yeah. And then prices include for the challenge, which is the half marathon and the 10K, mm-hmm. 360. The half is $215, the 10K is $135, the 5K is $95. Kids Adventures, which is a rebranding of the kids races, is $30, and then Party is $89.
Yeah, apparently the kids have gone from having actual races to fun activities emphasizing health and wellness, which I think translates into they, you know, decide that kids growing bones and doing road racing competitively is probably not a great combination.
Yeah.
So, you know, save the half marathon till they're a little bit older.
The Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend will return on January 5th through the 9th, 2022, and will include a 5 and 10K, a half marathon, a marathon, and then the Goofy, which is the half and the marathon, and the Dopey, which is all four races, if you are a masochist.
Yeah, and speaking of masochism, not only punishing your body, but punishing your wallet. I don't know what the prices were in 2020 or 2019 before everything shut down, but $600 for the dopey is that's a lot. I mean, and especially if you're doing multiple races throughout the year, it can be an expensive hobby.
Mm-hmm. And then followed by the Disney Princess Half Marathon in February from the 24th through the 27th, 2022. That one includes a 5 and a 10K, a half marathon, and a Disney two-course challenge, which is the 10K and the half. But this one has in-person and virtual options for all four races. Nice. That is the same for the other events as well. And then there is the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Weekend presented by Otterbox, happening March 31st through April 3rd, 2022. And this is replacing Star Wars Rival Run Weekend. That's too many R's.
Which is a shame because I kind of enjoyed seeing pictures of people like dressing in stormtrooper or racing in stormtrooper armor or other ridiculous costumes.
And that was also one of the only events where you could see certain characters like Clone Wars and Rebels. And it's a shame.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, maybe they'll have some interesting thing. I've always thought of trying one of these, but to be honest, I usually don't run unless I'm being chased.
Same.
And even then, I'll probably just push down someone who's slightly slower than me so that I don't have to run as fast.
And then paying for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's asking too much of me. Yeah. Now, before we get to the main attraction, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
Yay!
Ding, ding, ding.
All right. Main attraction this week is a big one if you're planning a vacation anytime soon to Walt Disney World, at least.
A big perk of staying in Disney's hotels is finally coming back for the first time in well over a year. Early morning admission, which used to be called extra magic hours, is now going to be a little different. Plus, we're going to have some evening magic hours that have caused some controversy.
Yep.
Yep.
So starting October 1st, early theme park entry returns, but only for Disney Resort hotel guests and guests of other select hotels.
Yeah, and those select hotels are mostly the partner hotels around the hotel plaza area or around the Disney Springs.
Yeah. And then guests staying at a Disney Deluxe or Deluxe Villa Resort will be able to enjoy those evening hours on select nights at select parts, but only them.
Only them. So we've got two kind of major changes that are going to affect the way that people tour the parks, whether you're staying on site or not. The first is the morning hours. Previously, when the parks did their extra magic mornings, it would be 1 hour, but it would only be one of the four parks each day. So if you weren't eligible for that, you always had the opportunity to avoid the extra magic park. Or even if you did have the opportunity, a lot of time and from the unofficial guides, we would advise people not to take advantage of it because it would draw so many people that that park would become more crowded than the other three. And you'd be better off avoiding it than using it. Now, it's only going to be a 30-minute head start every day, but it's going to be every day in all four parks. This means that if you are not staying on site, you will never again be able to rope drop a park. If you are an average annual pass holder lives locally like me, you will never again, no matter how hard you try, how early you wake up, be able to be first in line for any of those attractions, because there will always be a half hour's worth of hotel guests in ahead of you. That's tough. That is definitely going to make staying on site a definite advantage. If you are a theme park commando and you are all about following a touring plan that gets you there a rope drop to stay ahead of the crowds, you're really going to have to rethink your strategy, or you're going to have to bite the bullet and get an on-site hotel. Hopefully having all four of them happen every day will spread those crowds out a little more evenly. And it's only being a half hour. Maybe it won't be as bad, but I'm honestly looking for this to completely mess up all of my strategies for rope dropping as someone who does not stay in the hotels.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to the parks, are you the kind of person who shows up at rope drop?
I only ever have done it like twice, and it was when people came to visit me. But as a local, I never did it. No.
Yeah.
It just was not my bag. But I would love the extra magic hours, like the late, the evening ones. Those were my preference when it came to the two. Yeah,
absolutely. Especially Magic Kingdom or Epcot, you know, when the parks would clear out and you just feel like you would have the whole park to yourself. And they've tried different evening things over the years. For a while, there were e-ticket nights where you would pay like $20 and get to stick around. And it was totally worth those $20 because everything was a walk-on.
Yeah.
You know, over the years, it's changed and modified. And this is, I think, kind of the biggest change they've ever had. I'm not aware of in the past of them ever differentiating between different levels of hotels for a perk like this. But now you will be having to stay in a deluxe or deluxe villa resort. So we're talking like Grand Floridian, Polynesian, Contemporary, but not the Grand, not the, you know, Caribbean Beach, not Pop Century.
No.
Basically, none of the reasonably priced hotels will be able to participate in this. And in order to participate in it, you're going to both have to be staying in one of those deluxe hotels. You're going to have a park pass reservation for that day. And you're going to have, if you're park hopping, have entered another park beforehand that you have a reservation for. So not something that you can use with no planning. But I think that those people who are able to take advantage of it should really be able to enjoy some short wait times for the attractions.
And I don't know what the implications are of this, but Disney said that both of these extended hours options will have select attractions, merchandise, and food and beverage locations available. Yeah. So that in itself implies that not everything will be
absolutely. Traditionally, when they do these kind of things, you've got most of the e-tickets still open and some quick service dining, but probably table service will not participate. Some of the smaller attractions that are less popular, they won't bother running. But you know, if you are able to take advantage of it, it's great. Like I said, very controversial on Twitter. A lot of people saying that this is Disney discriminating and making things unfair. You know, I have issues with crying discrimination, because everything in life, and Disney World is part of life, discriminates on the basis of money. People who have the money to buy a ticket to the theme park can go into a theme park, which someone who does not have the money cannot. And, you know, I have the money to buy an ice cream bar or a pair of Mickey ears, and you do not. So I get them and you don't. Everything in the parks has always been depending on how much money you have to spend. I think people thought there was an illusion of egalitarianism. And, you know, over the years, Disney has chipped away at that in every possible way. You know, other parks like Disney, Universal and SeaWorld have offered paid fast passes, have offered better perks for their top hotels. And, you know, Disney has also done these things. They've just not been as obvious about it in the past. So I think they're just kind of acknowledging that you pay more, you get more.
Yeah.
So,
and as a final little addition, the Disney Resort hotels will have Disney characters making surprise appearances in their 50th anniversary costumes, which sounds super cute, but they haven't said when that starts.
No.
I would assume not until October.
October 1st. I think October 1st is going to be a big day. There's going to be so much stuff that just pops up starting October 1st.
And then the Disney dining packages will be returning at a later date, though a specific timeline was not shared. So
yeah, this one we could probably do a whole episode on, because Disney dining packages are a big driver of when people schedule their vacations. When you a Disney dining package announcement day for travel agents is like Black Friday, because they just get swamped. When there is a free dining offer, people will pay twice as much for a hotel room if they're getting free dining thrown in with it. Huge, huge driver of people. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, you are going to lose money or at best break even on those dining packages. So when we do have details on them, we're going to have to really dig into that. The irony of all this is the same time that Disney announced that their Disney dining packages are coming back, Universal announced that they are getting rid of all dining packages. You can no longer buy, as of a few days ago, you can no longer buy a dining package at Universal. And if you've got one, it's going to expire by the end of the year. So use those credits now.
Wow.
Yep.
I feel like you're going to have to take me to Disney dining package school.
Oh, it. I mean,
I don't know. Anything.
Yeah, honestly, you need a master's degree to figure out some of this stuff. They deliberately make it as complicated as possible to actually save money using the dining package.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
But that's everything we had for this week. And we came in, our timer says 59. Woohoo, 59. So we came in right at under an hour.
Awesome.
And I just want to go through the listener thank yous before we go. In case you did not know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you choose the club or VIP tier when you sign up, you get a shout out on the podcast the week after you subscribe. So this week, big applause and snaps go to Derek Ellis, Robert Harms, Susan Sears, and Julie Morris. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you are interested, our summer 2021 issue is now available at attractionsmagazine.com/store in print or in digital if you prefer to read on your Nook or Kindle. And we also have a digital subscription option as well, so you can get all 4 issues each year delivered to your smart device. And I would also like to thank Destinations with Character Travel for sponsoring this podcast and allowing our sleepy alternative selves to bring the news to you early Monday morning.
We should do this time all the time. That's great.
If it gives us an hour to procrastinate on a Monday.
I'll take it. I just want to remind everyone to please head on over to Apple Podcasts. Give us that very important 5-star rating. Give us a positive review. Help us share the word about Attractions Magazine and our podcast with everyone out there. And if you want more of this kind of amazing, fascinating coverage that you've been enjoying, you can find me on the interwebs at theunofficialguides.com, on Twitter at the UG Series, or on Instagram, where I've been posting lots of reels, including a full recording of the reopening night of the Epcot Forever Fireworks, at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've been hanging out with our sleepy selves for the past hour or so.
Waking up. One more cup of coffee, I'll be good to go.
I haven't even had my first one yet. Ugh. And until next week, I hope you stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun. And we'll see you next time.